All right, Peter Belmonte joins us. Peter is a retired U.S. Air Force officer, a freelance historian, a veteran of Operation Desert Storm. He holds a master's degree in history from California State University in Stanislaus. Peter, a pleasure to have you on the show. I love the book. It's absolutely terrific. It's called Play Ball, Doughboys and Baseball During the Great War. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Marty. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a great pleasure for me.
Enjoying the show today?
I am. I am very much.
What should they do with Bumgarner?
I think I got to play this carefully.
I know. You don't want to get out of your lane here. You want to...
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to talk about
Christy Mathewson instead.
Right. I won't put you on the spot. But tell us about the book, because, you know, I've talked about AmericanInnings.org and my love for U.S. history being told through the eyes of baseball. And you do it perfectly. That's what this book is all about. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Of course, I had two co-authors, Alexander Barnes and his son, Samuel Barnes. So we wrote about baseball. All three of us like history. We're all historians, and all three of us like baseball, so it was a natural fit. And we wanted to write about Al and I had already done a book together about immigrant soldiers in the U.S. Army during World War One. And later Al approached me and said, hey, how about baseball? Because we'd been chatting about baseball as we were coordinating about the book. And we managed to get the publisher to agree to it, and off we went with the baseball book. And it discusses baseball in the United States, in the armed forces, and baseball players in the armed forces during World War One. We had a lot of fun doing it. I learned a lot, and hopefully it came out the way we wanted. It seems like it did, and I think it's a good book. I think it's very educational for people.
Well, easily to read, I'll tell you that. It's funny, as the fans know, when I have an author on, I like to pick up the book at any part of it and just read it, and you're in the flow of it, and I can do that with your book called Play Ball. But baseball, back, and then we're talking about World War One, 1918, and that period of time, the season was almost canceled in 1918, and baseball had to negotiate to have the season end in September, then the World Series. But they, in spring training, they went through close order drills. Baseball was very much involved in the war effort, and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm glad you talked about the drills. It's one of the pictures in there. You see the Yankees, and it was round opening day 1917, and there are the Yankees all formed up in formation with bats instead of rifles, you know, on their shoulder, marching onto the field, being led by an Army drill sergeant. And this was sort of done. Some of the owners got together and thought this is a way. Of course, went into the war in April 1917, right around opening day. This is a way to show patriotism. This is a way to show, you know, the baseball is behind the Army, behind the armed forces, behind America. Something probably you wouldn't see today is a bunch of baseball players drilling with bats. And that was kind of the start of how what happened in baseball during World War One. And of course, it was a great worry about, well, should we be playing baseball? What about the players? And soon after declaration of war, the draft happened. Certainly some of these guys are going to be drafted. They're young, they're healthy, they're going to be drafted. Are people going to want to come out and see baseball? Many of the minor leagues teams and whole entire leagues folded in 1917 for just that reason. A lot of players enlisted and were drafted. There were costs involved in transportation, difficulty in, you know, getting on the train and moving to your next, the next set of games, things like this. And then, as you said, in 1918, it kind of came to a head, and I can discuss the draft a little bit too in conjunction with that, but they truncated the season by, I think, about 2 weeks, 14 games, ended it in September, and then played the World Series. And of course, in those days, the players didn't get played, you know, they didn't get paid. All right, that's it. You know, the season's over. Well, wait a minute, what about our extra money? Well, that wasn't coming, of course, and that's, as I know you know this as a reflection, American history is kind of tied up in baseball. They kind of reflect each other. And labor history and things like that are reflected greatly in baseball in that era also.
Well, great to have Peter Belmonte with us. The book is Play Ball. You can get it, certainly ordered. I know David up at the Book Tree in Montclair in Oakland is the best place to get all these books. And if he doesn't have it in stock, he can order it. And you can get it on all the usual outlets. Peter, the other thing about, I was talking to Vida Blue about it when he was here today, We had African American soldiers in World War One, but they were not integrated into the regular divisions. They had their own, and they were very, very brave soldiers. What about that?
Yeah, that's true. They had two divisions of African American soldiers. Back then, they were called colored divisions. Two divisions of combat soldiers. Most of the rest of the African Americans served in support units behind the lines. A lot of them were in these stevedore battalions, labor battalions. A lot of them were in pioneer infantry regiments, which were quasi-combat. They were almost like today's combat engineers, but in reality, they worked more like just labor troops. And here again, this kind of reflects American history and baseball and the military, because you have African Americans certainly good enough to play in the major leagues during that era, but they couldn't. They played in the Negro Leagues, even though that wasn't formalized until 1920, but a series of Negro teams, what they called Negro Leagues. And when they went to the military, it was separate, but it was not equal. You know, Jim Crow, you know, was a fallacy. It was not separate and equal. It was just separate and completely unequal. And for the military soldiers, they thought, certainly now that we've shown our support of the country, our patriotism, we're going to fight for a country. Certainly now when we come back home and trade our uniforms in for our civilian clothes, things are going to be better. Things are going to look up for us. The government is going to maybe recognize us. And that sadly did not happen. In many cases, it was the opposite. And that's kind of the same thing with baseball. It wasn't until, of course, about 30 years after World War One that was finally integrated. But certainly that's a great story, the Negro Leagues, and also as we kind of talk about a little bit in the book about the Negro soldiers, the black African-American soldiers that served in the military overseas.
Yeah, and baseball was a part of it, though. You had all the teams, you know, they would make teams, they would play against each other. Like in World War II, baseball, everyone should know, baseball, again, was the recreation, the moral uplifting of the troops. Baseball is a big part of World War One.
Yeah, it was. It was very much so. Two of my favorite photos in the book are African American soldiers holding bats, and and what are they holding? They're not holding rifles. They're not holding their equipment. They're holding something that was very important to them, and they wanted to send a picture home. And one of the guys is actually doing something you don't see very much. He's actually choking up on the bat. So, in baseball was played just everywhere. You had young American healthy men together, and they loved baseball. They played it. One of my favorite stories is the small, obscure units, like what's the 11th Construction Company. It was an Army Air Service unit made up of bricklayers formed to make these buildings for the Air Service, Army Air Service. Only 160 men, but yet they managed to put together a team that was playing in South Carolina that defeated all comers. So you had these little tiny kids that were very proud and very good. And, of course, the major leaguers and many minor leaguers that got into the service, really boosted the quality of play in many of those teams.
Well, I appreciate it. A lot of very similar how important baseball was to the Japanese internment camps in World War II, and how baseball got people through. And somehow they made fields in the most remote deserts and had uniforms and all that. So the perseverance around baseball is so important in the early part of the 20th century, and also during the wars and the conflicts. So, yeah, great having you on. I love the book. It's well done, and congratulations. We'd love to have you on again.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be on here, Marty. It's great to talk with you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Peter. All right.
You're welcome.
All right. More coming up. It's Peter Belmonte. Play Ball is the name of the book, Doughboys and Baseball During the Great War. And as Peter said, such a reflection on American history and how baseball was such an important part. And don't forget, we're talking 1917, 1918, we had all the European migration happening around then. So they were now playing in the major leagues. So they were Germans and Slavic and Italians and people from all over, but segregated. But they played baseball, and the melting pot of the country was happening in that part of the 20th century. Then the war happened, and then they took baseball into it with them. So a very interesting part of how the country came together and how these different ethnic groups bonded around baseball. And it goes on. The story goes on. So I'm glad to do it. AmericanInnings.org. Please check it out. If you ever want to make a contribution, we love it. Take a look at the vignettes that are on there. It's really something I'm very proud of.